Welcome back. Welcome back to Fanboys and the Filthy Casual. Back at you once again.
Are we saying
as
podcast?
Usual, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
Did he skip out for a second, or was it me?
No. We were good.
Okay, sorry. This is Harold.
And as Harold just kind of pointed out, we are still in our COVID-19 quarantine watch. You know, I'm just starting to kind of get used to, like, finding places to talk. And right now, I'm in my bathroom, so I think this might be my most favorite place to record right now, dude.
Acoustic sounds pretty good, dude. So I'm not gonna lie.
Why don't you go in the shower and see how you sound in the shower?
Let's not go there, because I might be tempted to turn on and, like, you know, start using the actual bathtub and electrocute myself. today we're going to be doing, I don't know, we really don't have, like, an overarching, like, a topic, but we do have a bunch of poopery, as Harold is now prone to calling it. So, Lewis, what do we have for poopery today?
All right, so for poopery, we got a couple things that I think Harold and everybody else talked about. So actually, first off, last night was a return to the Parks and Rec special. So Harold, what did you think of it?
I loved it. It was fantastic.
So what was it about, or what was it actually? Please let us know for the casual fans here.
So, like you guys know, I've been harping everyone who listens to this, and you guys especially know how much I love the series Parks and Rec. I always say it's probably the best TV show of all time. So the people who starred in the original series decided to have a reunion special, or technically a reunion episode, but doing an actual plot somewhat. So what they had to do is, like, if you guys don't remember, Amy Poehler's character, Leslie Knope, is a government official. She's now the director of parks for the whole country. So she has this thing. It's the running kind of theme for it is everybody who used to work for her at the Parks and Recreation Department in Pawnee, Indiana, they do like a weekly call. So they do like a Zoom call, and then it's one person's job. So whoever they talk to, they have to call the next person. So sequentially starts with her. Actually, the whole thing is awesome because it starts out with Paul Rudd, because Paul Rudd was a recurring character on Parks and Rec.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't know that.
And he played an idiot on the show, so he opens it by doing, like, why is there no people around me kind of deal. And then it's literally, like, them calling each different member of the Parks Department, and then getting an update from everybody else. And then how they have it is the characters who are married, so they can play out the fact that they're all, you know, actual in quarantine. They're like, oh, we're in different rooms in the house kind of deal. Or in Chris Pratt's section, he's locked himself in the garage because he's an idiot. So that's why he's not with his wife at the current time. And then it's literally just them talking to each other, doing jokes here and now, and then in between or before each section would start, they have a commercial play, and the commercial would be by one of the old recurring characters. So anybody who was like a fan favorite character would show up and do like some kind of bit. So it was weird. It was pretty awesome. They would do an interviews through their type of Zoom conference calls, and yeah, it was interesting. So but literally every main character was back. They all did their parts. They all did them great. They played into character beautifully. And then, yeah, they wrapped it up with, it was like a fundraising event. So anytime they would talk about something right after, they would say, you know, oh, the reason why we're doing the show is because, you know, we're trying to raise funds for a charity for meals for the less fortunate at the moment. So it was a great tie-in with that, and yeah, it was pretty hilarious. It's on demand right now. It makes more sense if you are a fan of the show, but at the same time, even if you're not, it's still pretty funny.
So are they sticking with their characters? So it really is them playing their characters and not like kind of as a joke or anything like that?
No, it's them doing an actual episode. So they're in character the whole time. One of the characters is actually a nurse. So they talk about how, well, why isn't she, you know, at the hospital? But they explain, oh, she's doing outpatient. So that's why she is in a separate room from her husband, is because she has to quarantine herself. So I was like, dude, that's good writing. So
very clever. Cool. All right. What else what other poopery? What else have you guys been up to lately? I think I know Harold's had the floor a lot, but you've had 2 weeks now to play with Animal Crossing. How are we doing on that progress, dude?
After the revelation from Dennis last week that apparently I had been doing it all wrong, and that I was not the primary resident of my island, I restarted. And literally everything went so much faster. it was really goddamn ridiculous. Because I was always like, how come I never got these tools? Why is my storyline not progressing? Everything looks so stagnant. And literally, I was like, oh, I didn't, like, even when we were talking about it, I was like, oh, I don't have any turnips to sell because, oh, yeah, the turnip guy missed me. No, it's because the turnip guy doesn't sell all to the non thing. And literally after this thing, I was like, oh, they're like, oh, the turnip guy's here. it's been literally just rebuilding everything, having to catch the same fish all over again, and it's been fun.
It's funny, like that's the one thing that I wish I can tell you that I've experienced, because I have not. I've experienced like from the like over my daughter's shoulder. So my character itself, unfortunately, does not know the joy of experiencing that. But the one thing that I have to tell you that I'm really proud of, and this is how sad it is and amazing at the same time, that I've spent like a good portion of at least an hour today of like taking out flowers, replanting flowers, and putting in like specific areas so that a specific color rose is going to be next to a different color rose so that it's going to produce a different color. So like right now I have like a blue rose and a black rose, and I'm pretty damn excited about it. So
you sound super hyped for it, dude. I wish we had video. I wish we had video, because you were so like entranced with how you were playing this pedal plus this pedal. Beautiful.
And right now I'm waiting for I have a hybrid that's going to be married to a hybrid, and I'm crossing my fingers that it's going to produce like the ultra hybrid that it's supposed to be. So yeah,
it's going to be like a white flower.
It's going to be
it's gonna be gray.
It's gonna be purple, bro. Okay, I'm waiting for a purple flower. That's what I'm waiting for.
So, what's awesome for? I mean, it's giving me mad FOMO too, though, because it looks like literally.
Whoa! Mad what?
FOMO.
Oh.
Fear of missing out.
Okay, just checking.
Not that thing I have to go get a checkup for. Okay. But like literally everybody from, I mean, it's a celebrities list. Like Chrissy Teigen, you know, who else? Frodo, I can't remember his real name. Frodo Baggins. T-Pain.
Did you call him Brodo? Never mind.
Yes, Brodo Baggins. You know, Machete himself is looking for people to visit his their islands, and it's like this is legitimately become a phenomenon. So I mean, you guys are, especially Dennis, obviously has been in on it from the beginning. So like that's really good. I mean, this feels a lot like the days of yore when Pokemon Go was on everybody's phone and everybody was still, you know, walking.
This is like no joke. Like, what's your turnip price is like a new pickup line.
Hey, Harold, now that I know you're on, I'm going to be telling you what my turnip prices are, dude.
All right, good. I've had some good, like, people have been giving me some good offers this week. And then I had a meteor shower last night, but I was like,
What the hell?
Yeah, I know.
I've only had even. What does that even mean? I'm sorry.
I have not had a meteor shower in my place yet, dude. I'm so angry.
That's just word salad. What the hell is going on?
I have one that I want to use so I can just like automatically like quick change, dude.
No idea what the hell's going on.
Exactly.
So
it was funny. It's funny because like I have two chats of Animal Crossing. That's sad as usual.
Wow. That's more than a lot of people.
Exactly. And then like literally an hour into the meteor shower, I was like, maybe I should invite Dennis. And then I looked and it was like midnight. I was like, nah, let him sleep.
Yes, you should have. Damn it. I have to edit that damn thing.
But it was earned. Sorry, it was earned.
Although, yeah, I have to admit, there's satisfaction. Like, I've gotten 4 stars already, and it's just been, like, random. Like, where, you know, I'm, like, walking around, I see a flash of light, and, like, ooh. And the fact that I can wish on a star right like that, there's something satisfying about it. I have no idea why.
Then I shouldn't tell you about the meteor shower because it was like every 10 seconds.
Oh.
Like 3 stars. Like I was you can't see his face, guys. It's so classic. I feel so bad right now. Like I bought the, I still have to send you the money, by the way. It'll be there by the time this episode airs.
Oh man.
That,
so yeah,
you know, that reminds me though. You know, Dennis said the new pickup line is "What are your Turner prices?" I can't wait for Harold to go to his next bachelor party, get lost at a strip club, talk to the next dancer, and be like, "Hey, girl, what's the Turner prices over here?"
So, really quickly, since we're going in that direction, have you guys seen what they're doing? I think it's in Portland or in Oregon for a strip club.
Yes, a drive-through. No. Strip club. It is hilarious, Dennis. So
look at Dennis's face.
Trying to imagine the logistics. If I didn't see the pictures, Dennis, I wouldn't have believed it either. But it's like what Dennis, like what Harold was saying. It's like, so a strip club in Portland has set up they set themselves up as an essential service by having stripper poles out in a parking lot, and patrons can stay in their car and drive by them like it's a Mad Max fantasy. And these girls are, you know, it's got like the strobe light, the pole dancing, I'm assuming the loud music. And it's weird, man. It's weird, dude. But hey, man, those girls got to put themselves through college somehow, right?
And the thing is, they're wearing masks.
That's hot. That's hot.
So now, is it like what type of masks are they wearing? Like, have they used this as an opportunity to, you know, to kind of like sexify it, I guess?
I think the better mask would be if they took a picture of their own mouths and put it over their thing.
I mean, okay.
Sure. Set up your Etsy shop, Harold. That's what you should be selling. But send me a picture of your mouth.
The thing that made me laugh is the fact that how they're getting paid is they just have like metal pails where the guys just drop money into while they're driving by.
Like church?
No. Well.
Yes.
Like offertory, like thank you.
Exactly.
How long do they get to stay and watch is the question.
Oh, I know.
I know.
Did like for the guy behind Hank.
Like
it's one song.
I know. Should there be a sign like he went for a twofer?
Is this the blue light special? You get to go 2 rounds. Drive around and around.
Is there a champagne drive-through?
Do you use your own stereo system?
Oh. Like then, it's the drive-in
movie.
The
song. Yeah, you have to choose the song, and they have to like, and they're like, ooh, okay, this is my move now.
Ooh, Bohemian Rhapsody challenge.
I'm just going to have Pour Some Sugar on Me on repeat. Or like a bunch of.
It's like a 6-minute song, dude.
Or all 2 Live Crew songs.
No. You have to do Bohemian Rhapsody, dude.
The extended version.
I think the full I think Hotel version. California would be perfect.
Yeah. With the guitar solos.
Exactly. And oh, Don Henley talking in the back.
All right, so now that we're off of, we got that off our chest. Dennis actually told us he had a game ready for us to kind of warm us up and get us talking. So what you got, Den?
So it's going to be between the two of you, and something I think we talked about before. There are so many famous Chris's out there. You have Chris Evans, you have Chris Hemsworth, and all these people, and they're like fighting for supremacy, and so. My game today is Name That Chris.
Ooh. Okay.
And so the game goes like this. I'm going to start reading off their movie credits, and I'm going to go as obscure as possible as I can, and to make and all of a sudden to like Captain America type thing. And so first person to say their name gets the opportunity to answer.
Are we just saying their last name? Are we saying our own names again?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless you want to do a different sound, which is fine with me.
Let me do that last time.
Okay. Yeah, so let's just go with your name. So let's start off really easy over here. Okay. Let's see. So which Chris is this? Coneheads. Airheads.
Harold.
Yes.
Farley.
Chris Farley is correct.
Nice.
1-4 Harold. 1-4 Harold. Chris Farley is correct. Next question. Next one is, let's see. Benchwarmers 2. Home on Earth. American Pie.
Oh my gosh.
Harold it is.
Klein.
Chris Klein is Chris Klein is correct. Chris Klein is correct.
Benchwarmers 2, really, dude?
Oh, Home on Earth is that one with Lily Sobieski?
That's the one.
You've got
I don't know. Right. Shut up.
How do you know that? I don't know.
Shut up.
Okay. So next one. Perfect Getaway. Red Dawn. Vacation.
Harold.
Damn
yes,
it.
Harold.
Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth is correct.
Wait, what was the clue that gave you Chris Hemsworth? I have no idea that he was even in
Red Dawn and Vacation.
Oh, Red Dawn. Oh, Vacation was in it for like 5 minutes, dude.
No, he's a main character in Vacation.
Okay, 3-0.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, here you go.
It's all right, dude. The Cavs came back from the 3-1 lead, dude.
Okay.
Jesus.
Here we go. Drumline. House Party 3. Money Talks.
Lewis.
Yes, Lewis.
Chris Brown?
No.
Dang it.
Harold? I'll keep on going.
Money Talks, House Party 3.
The Fifth Element.
Oh, Harold. Oh.
Yes, Harold.
Tucker?
Tucker. Chris Tucker, it is.
You barely even know her.
4-0.
Chris Tucker's in Drumline?
Like a bit player.
Okay. Really?
Here we go. I told you I'm going obscure.
You're going super obscure.
No.
First
here roles. We go. Next, Chris. Bad Company.
Harold.
Yes,
Rock.
Harold. Huh?
Rock.
Chris Rock it is.
Nice, dude.
Okay, so, Lewis.
Wait, is it 5-0?
5-0. You have to try to get something.
I know, I'm going to just yell.
just yell Lewis before anything
happens. Lewis! Okay, here we go. Let's see, let's go really. Superpower Dogs.
Lewis.
Yes,
I'm going to go with Evans. Chris
That's
Evans.
That's correct.
Yeah! He was due to come up.
How did you get Superpower Dogs with that one, dude?
Dude loves superhero movies.
He's got a good point.
He will sign anything this.
Okay, 5-1. 5-1. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Role Models. Neighbors. How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh.
Harold.
Yes, Harold.
Christopher Mintz Plus.
That's correct.
Wow. Wow. Who? Oh, that guy.
Yeah, McLovin.
Yes.
McLovin.
Okay. Here we go. Lewis. Lewis, this is for you, bro. Okay, here we go. Somewhere in Time. This is for you, Lewis. Superman.
Oh, Lewis. Christopher Reeves. Yay. Well, it's Chris if you know him.
Yes, thank you. Here we go. Next one. Next one. Next one. Wanted. Zero Dark Thirty. Moneyball. Lewis. Yes, Lewis.
Hemsworth? No.
No.
Harold.
Yes, Harold.
Pratt.
That's correct.
Oh.
And last but not least.
Is this like a double or nothing one?
Yes.
Even if you double or nothing, you still lose. Shut up.
Batman Returns.
Walk-in. I mean, Harold.
Yes, Harold. It is walk-in.
It's walk-in. I forgot. I forgot I was supposed to give that one to Lewis. I take it back. I take it back.
It's already out.
Okay, there you go. Who is this? Chris has just been obliterated by Harold. Good job, Harold.
Harold knows his Chris.
Jesus. Shout Chris. Out to Chris Piokinto. Thanks for being on the front lines, buddy.
No. Thanks for doing all you can and taking all those wonderful treats while you're at it. All right, so speaking of fun and games. So let's, what?
Oh, those wonderful what?
No, he's posting like pictures of people sending him food. I'm like, oh, man. Oh, that's okay. The risk and reward is almost worth it. Not really. I'm good. I'll stay home. all right, so thank you very much for that, Dennis. So speaking of fun and games, this next part of our podcast, we're going to talk about one of the comedies that come out supposed to come out in theaters, but had a wide release in video on demand lately, which is we'll talk about that later, but it looks to be changing the game a little bit. But anyway, the movie we're talking about is Trolls World Tour. This is the sequel to the original Trolls movie that came out a few years ago, 2015, I believe, or so. So Trolls 2.
Did you start with 19?
I did. Yeah, 19, new? 19. Let's go back from that one. So yeah, this is the sequel to the much beloved original movie starring Justin Timberlake and shoot, why can I not remember her name?
Of course, you would go with Justin Timberlake
first. Of course, Timberlake first, and I'm sorry, and Anna Kendrick. So the two of the fanboys here were able to see the movie on demand. Harold, however, is going to play casual for this round. So then,
yeah, hold on. It's not on brand though. I think. The fact that you would pay $20 to rent a movie just doesn't seem like it would be a Lewis move.
I know. I did the math because what we ended up doing is I figured since my four person family, my wife, my two kids, were to watch a $20 movie. You know, technically it's $5 a ticket. So I'm like, all right, that's not bad.
Yeah,
we can do that, and we can pause and watch it at our convenience. So yeah, it was a good investment. I mean, otherwise, going to AMC or going to a movie theater on a Friday night, that's about $16 a pop plus whatever snacks and whatever these kids want. Anyway, so yeah, I thought it was a little off brand, but I guess we can talk about that later.
It's funny that you mentioned that because when my daughter had said it, I was kind of balking at the idea. I was like, dude, it's $20.
Yeah.
Why would you? And like, I was looking at it. Am I going to own a digital copy of it? Am I going to do anything? But then after thinking about it, like, wait, no, you're right. Even if I do, oh my God, Harold, are we still paying for our, for our thing?
The Cinemark thing?
Uh-huh.
No, I canceled my, like, Dennis now. I was like, wait a second.
Did they cancel it? Do I have to cancel it?
If you're getting $10 charge on you every month,
damn it, I have to check now because man, I think I'm gonna have like a crap ton of tickets available now, dude.
Yeah,
but yeah, so even with the Herald and my, you know, service that we have, it's still a pretty good price. So, okay, hold on, you guys talk while I check my my phone records and my
see if they took anything.
Before you start with the review of the movie, just in general, when you guys were talking about on demand, like you said, is that a rental or is that owned?
It's a rental, basically. Like I checked Amazon, I checked something called VOD, three different places, and basically it really is. You get to have it on your service for like. Of 24 hours or something like that.
Right.
And then after 24 hours, you lose access to it already. So, I did it on Spectrum. I was the cheap butt and tried to like click record and no bueno, did not allow me to do it.
Huh. Warded by Big Spectrum. Damn it. same here, actually. Well, I ended up purchasing it on Amazon, so kind of the same detail. So what I did was I bought it like earlier that day. Like Dennis said, we did have the option of watching it within the next, I think ours is 48 hours, so just 2 days. But, you know, like Dennis said, once you started the movie, you could pause it in theory and come back to it. But once you end the movie, that's it. So you can't record it. It's not something you can, like, go back on like it's a Netflix or Hulu. But, you know, it was...
You can't watch it more than once?
Spectrum, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, for Spectrum, as long as, it's there available for whether it's... I think it's 24, but as long as it's that allotted time, you can watch it more than once.
Yeah, I think Jeff Bezos is a cheapskate, and he said, nope, just once. That's all you get.
Yeah. His wife took half of it, so, you know, he has to make it up in some way.
Oh, man. Before we get into more of the logistics of it, let's talk about the movie itself. Like I mentioned, it is one of the bigger releases in the early, you know, the late spring season, right before the big summer movies were supposed to come out. Let's talk Trolls World Tour. Dan, what did you think of the movie? Did you like it? Did you enjoy it? Maybe we can even compare it to the first movie and see how it holds up.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to, because I think we've mentioned before, Trolls is actually one of those amazing surprises for me, where I watched it out of not necessity, but being forced to by my daughter, because, you know, I didn't want to watch a Trolls movie. I remember what Trolls are, and they're annoying little things. And I was surprised at how good the movie was and how heartfelt it was. And the songs also, you know, like was something that I just kept on watching over and over again. Admittedly, at least, you know, once every 2 months or so, if it's on like TV, I'll sit down and watch it with my daughter. This time around, I didn't think it was as strong as it was before. You know, and it really is a problem for sequels to try to catch, lightning in a bottle, which that's what Trolls was, kind of like Lego Movie 2. You know, like it was still cute, but a lot of the charm, a lot of the surprise that came from the very beginning wasn't there anymore. But you know, while I did like the movie, don't get me wrong, it's a good movie. I don't think it was as strong as the first one in terms of not just the story, and but also, admittedly, I think the songs also. I kind of like the songs that were used before than what they used this time around.
Nice. I think that, you know, I think you hit your review head on. I feel a lot of the same ways that you do. Still a really solid, great entry to the move to the franchise, if this is what the choices are going to or if that's the direction they're going to go with this movie. But not as strong as the first. On the same boat, I think the first Trolls movie was a pleasant surprise. It really took people by surprise. You know, not a lot of people gave Justin Timberlake, you know, a lot of credit, you know, lending his voice in another animated movie after what happened in Shrek 3. But, you know, this the first Trolls movie really was a revelation. You know, he had some great chemistry with Anna Kendrick's character. Not to mention, yeah, the song, I think the song selection really did help too, because, you know, it was actually just on TV again, few days ago, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, like the song selection really played well to, you know, to the whole, to the feel of the movie, to the story, to the whole, you know, to the whole delivery of it. Unfortunately for this time around, I think, you know, part of it might have been because of the plot. You know, I'm sorry, we didn't do a loose review of the movie, but you know, a quick
I feel so incomplete right now.
You gotta do it.
That's what we're
you gotta do it.
We're gonna do it. We're gonna do a retro loser reviews. Trolls World Tour. So for, you know, for Trolls World Tour, you know, Poppy, the Anna Kendrick's character, has, you know, settled in into her role as queen of, I think it's Popland, of the trolls. She is visited by Queen Barb, who is apparently, you know, this is now where they're trying to expand the world. We discover that there are other lands in, you know, Trolltopia, Trollsyland, where there are other genres of music.
Lewis is just like randomly coming up with words right now. It's amazing.
It's been a while since I've seen this movie.
Keep on going, bro.
We're going to keep going. So we find out that this land is actually split into different genres of music. Pop. Now I'm cheating. I'm looking at the thing, but it's pop, funk, classical, techno, country, and rock. This is part of me. Part of me felt like I wish Harold had seen this movie so he could just be like, "Those aren't genres of music. Those are more."
I became your son all of a sudden.
You became Penn Oswalt all of a sudden.
No, never mind.
Is there a difference between Harold and Patton Oswalt?
I've never seen them in the same place.
Success. The main difference is success.
Success. I'd watch you do stand up and then sit down. So we're introduced to the larger land of the trolls. Long story short, we find out that the Queen of Rock, Queen Barb, actually wants to take the separate strings that each of the lands have. Now, according to legend, the six strings come together and they become like a beautiful harmony, or you can end the world with a snap. But just kidding. So it's up
to... You got that one, right?
That's basically it. When I saw that, I'm like, oh, okay, Infinity War. But cuter, I guess, but for kids. Barb is trying to bring back the six strings after they've been separated. You know, Poppy is trying to put the other genres of music together so they can fight her. But it turns out, you know, there's a little bit of a plot twist where it turns out the pop music land, which Poppy is from, actually stole the strings in the first place. Which actually does kind of seem on the nose, because, you know, again, I'm not Harold here, the music ingenue, but, you know, pop does take a lot from all the other genres to make its own. So, you know, at the end, well, anyway, long story short, at the end, you know, Goodness and Poppy defeat Barb, but not without learning a lesson. Lots of music ensues, and Justin Timberlake is still a handsome troll. The end.
And I think, Lewis, you kind of got hit it on the nose where the conceit of the movie actually hurt it, because I think what was beautiful about the first one is that we were able to get a lot of pop classics that we all love and love singing. But since we needed to introduce the world to country and all these things, you all of a sudden have to be introduced to songs that maybe you don't necessarily like, or maybe it's not something you'd enjoy singing, but it was necessary for the plot for it to be there. But it was really cute. I thought that they were able to use the concepts behind the songs. But, you know, one of the things that I found kind of sad was that there was like a whole section, there was a whole sequence that I thought was going to happen where like the reggaeton people were going to like save the world or something like that. And it didn't turn out that way, but it was, like, I don't know, there were missed opportunities. But like I said, good movie. I like the message. The kid loved it. Phoebe loved the whole thing. So I can't really complain about it.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's a really solid 2-hour movie. When it does come out on Blu-ray or other streaming services, definitely recommend people watch it. But like I said, holding it up against the first Trolls movie might be a little. It's going to be a task because, like I said, that one, like you said, it was lightning in a bottle. I know Harold, you didn't see the movie, but you got any questions for us or anything about the movie?
Yeah. Listening to your somewhat review of the movie, is there a genre you think that was probably missing that would have been slightly more not entertaining, but add to the story a little bit? Like when you're watching it, you're like, oh, they have all these genres, but what about this?
I wish they had just given it like a straight up hip hop genre, because they gave it like, they put funk as one of the genres, and it was like a catch all for basically, let's call it what it is, for black music.
Yeah. It's like
jazz, blues, rap, hip hop was like funk. I was like, okay.
Like, so the prince of funk was rapping. You know what I mean? It's like, exactly. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Who's the star? Who is their prince?
Oh, so for the king of that land was Quincy Brown. Oh, no, George Clinton. George Clinton. And then the queen was Mary J. Blige. So you got actual funk in George Clinton. And then, like, you got the queen of R&B, Mary J. Blige. And I'm looking it up real quick. It is – okay, I have to ask my 11-year-old, but it's like the prince was played by Anderson .Paak. Harold, you're much cooler than I am. I have no idea who that was. Yeah.
He's that guy.
Okay. I thought they were going to
– I think he's half Thai.
Okay. I thought they were going to go for like Kendrick Lamar or somebody more recognizable, but maybe his discography isn't exactly family friendly for the kids.
For my part, I kind of mentioned that there was a segment where in the whole plot there was like small genres that basically said that if they team up with the king of rock or the queen of rock, they were going to make their own genre like available. So there was reggaeton and there was K-pop.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but it bugged me. I was like, why are the K-pop people singing English the whole time?
Ooh.
That's the K in K-pop.
Kinglish.
So, who is the queen of rock played by?
Okay, I'm looking it up real quick. Okay, so it's actually the princess, I guess, Rachel Bloom. So she's the star actress of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and some other musicals. But there was a bit role played by...
Have Harold guess it, quick. Who would be the king of rock?
He's Elvis? Still alive.
He's still alive. Michael Bublé.
Dude, there you go. That should have been that should have been a genre that should have been there.
Well, you said he's still alive, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Elvis.
Tupac. Okay. Well,
Tupac lives in Kentucky. Remember?
Yeah. It was actually played by Ozzy Osbourne, so he was the king of rock.
Okay.
Yes, exactly right. So yeah, these kind of catch all. I mean, it's cute, I guess, for the younger audience. Maybe it's a good little snippet of like, oh, maybe I'm more interested in it. And actually, the other part too is speaking of casting, they had Kelly Clarkson be the queen of country. I just saw Harold twitch.
What?
Yeah, seriously. I guess Shania Twain was, and literally anybody else was busy.
Was Carrie Underwood,
they're busy, man.
They had to pick another American Idol over her, huh? I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So my question is, when Justin Timberlake comes across the king of funk, does he try to steal his culture?
Well, that's the funny part, is that there was one part in the movie where they kind of pointed out that the reason why pop is the way it is because it kind of used up like the different like genres from the other ones. So they did steal, pop did steal funk, pop did steal, you know, of
rock
and everything. So yep. It was actually like,
is it just
on the nose.
Appropriation, a cultural appropriation thing?
Yeah, it kind of, dude. That's who they were.
Basically, dude, it was the funny part was like, you know, Anna Kendrick's character, Poppy, was like, her mind was blown. It's like, we stole from everybody? Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yes, Pop did.
Yeah, like the whole Elvis stole from the blues thing.
Yeah.
The one genre that
her name is Poppy.
The one genre that I was kind of confused in was, why was there a yodeler genre? Is that really a genre?
Or is that a hobby? I don't know.
Was it just Jewel and Shakira? Those are the only yodelers I know. And the guy from Price is Right.
Yes. And Drew Carey?
No, just that one character on that one game. That's all I know.
Oh, okay. Just checking. Okay.
Yeah, Mage. Now I want to see a halftime show with Jewel and Shakira. Forget J-Lo.
Only in your dreams.
And the only thing they're doing is yodeling?
Yes.
Dude. Yeah.
It's going to be huge in the Florida market. They love it. All right. So, Dan, final thoughts of the movie. Do you recommend it? Where are we going with this one?
I wouldn't put it in my top 10 or anything like that, but definitely it's something that when it does come out, I definitely am going to be sitting down and watching it. I prefer the first one, but you can't deny that there were some parts of it that was still actually addictively, you know, sugary to be able to like listen to.
Okay, real quickly before we get Lou's review, is Christopher Mintz-Plasse back?
You know, I didn't think about it.
I think he had a small cameo at the end. Like him and what's the other girl's name? The girl who played the ugly whatever. They had like a little cameo at the end, but it was totally different.
I don't remember, dude.
Yeah, Christopher Mintz-Plasse played the troll king in the other one, right? Anyway.
The prince, yeah.
Prince, yeah.
By the way, most mentions we've ever had of Christopher Mintz-Plasse in the history of this podcast. Yeah.
I was going to say, that's like the fourth.
So, like, he was there for like, like, it was one of those things where the prince, the prince and the princess basically goes, oh, we missed it. That was their role.
Yeah, that's right. That was their cameo. So they could have probably recorded on their phone, emailed it to the voiceover people, and like, yeah, just use that. So yeah, small part, but yeah, that was it. So for my review, I think I'm definitely, like I said, I'm with Dennis. Really solid, fun little movie. I think it was a welcome way for them to drop this movie. Unlike, you know, unfortunately, unlike a lot of the other movies that have been either postponed or like punted till next year. You know, it was kind of nice that there was something for a lot of us to consume and watch. So, you know, it was a welcome pace. But at this point, I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it. Maybe, like, you know, like Dennis said, maybe it was on cable on TNT or TBS in the afternoon. I'd play it in the background. But, you know, still good, but not the best.
Gotcha.
So speaking of which, let's have a quick dialogue about that, actually. So speaking of going video on demand versus the theaters, recently it came up, the box office for Trolls World Tour came back. So even with this $15, $20 video on demand strategy that they pulled off, it turns out Universal still made about $150 million on the box office, which is pretty admirable. I mean, this is a pretty big number, especially for an animated movie. And apparently AMC, the movie theater chain that is in every major city, put up a big fuss, and like they basically are, you know, I don't know, arguing with Universal, saying, you know what, if you're gonna start putting movies on, you know, on Amazon or video on demand, we're gonna stop showing your movies in theaters.
So what do you think the future of theater, of movies looks like with this? Like, do you think this is what's going to happen from moving forward?
I think it's another, there were at least two more companies that actually came in support of AMC and basically said that if movies or theaters start doing this or companies start doing this, that they're going to forgo and not allow them for not allow them to put in movie theaters. And, you know, which I think is commendable, but at the same time, like, I think, I don't know, we might have talked about this last time or the other episode, but, you know, even before COVID-19 kind of shut everything down, movie theaters really has been in decline. Right. You know, aside from big, movies like Star Wars or Marvel's Avengers, not like they were losing money, but it was really just the big, box office movies that was being profitable. And I think, Harold might know this better, but can you imagine Universal foregoing the opportunity to do Fast and the Furious in the movie theaters? Because there are some shows that I don't think I would be willing to watch on my TV, even though I did get a bigger TV, which is pretty amazing. the experience, imagine watching, even if we do a watch party, imagine watching Endgame in front of your TV for the very first time. You know, imagine watching Star Wars, even though a lot of people didn't like it, imagine watching Episode 9 again in front of your TV. The experience is not there. The feeling, somebody next to you just like jumping up and down in joy. There's something about the movie experience that is going to be that's going to be hard to change. And I don't know if Universal is going to be willing to risk that.
I think the biggest. The issue I think they have is the agreement of 90 days. The 90-day difference between when the movie starts at the theaters until it's supposed to be available for home viewing.
Yeah.
And they're mad about the fact that they literally didn't even give it a... Well, obviously, you can't give it a chance to go to theaters if all the theaters are closed.
Yeah.
But them continuing saying, this might be a potential model for future movies. I totally agree with Dennis. And it is one of those things where someone's going to end up backing down anyways because no one – yeah, can you imagine seeing that initial scrawl from the very last Star Wars, seeing that for the very first time on a home TV instead of seeing it in a theater? It's not the same. It's I know there's a big joke about it, but there was an episode of Married with Children, obviously 20 years ago, but it's like, that's why the home theater or home viewing will never replace the movie going experience. Like, there's a whole thing about going to movies. You make it a night, you make it an event. You literally have to plan things out because you know that it's going to be a thing where everyone's going to get together. You're going to have you're either going to like the movie together or you're going to see a movie together. You can end up disliking the movie at the same time, but it's that experience itself. And you can have a home theater and it's not going to be the same because it is just the movie going experience is always going to be slightly elevated, even depending on what kind of crowd you get. So, and imagine them back, they can't back down when the next Fast 9 movie, which was backed down for a whole year, those movies as well as any big comic book movies, any big action movies, like those Avatar movies, they're not getting released straight to VOD. No one's watching. I mean, you could watch it in 3D, but it's not the same thing. And you obviously can't have Vin Diesel acting his heart out and only getting to see it for the first time. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing over there. But like that whole action sequence of them with the cars acting like they're Spider-Man, no one wants to see that on, like, even seeing it on a computer screen, like for the first time when I was watching the trailer, I was like, okay, that's cool, but I can't wait to see this trailer, even a trailer, to see it on a giant screen.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree. You know, even though we do see like Star Wars trailers online, there's something about watching it there, and it's still giddy every single time we watch it. You know, I think, you know, Lewis kind of asked the question what it could look like. I mean, it might, you know, depending on, and we've kind of started seeing it already with, I'm forgetting, what's the name of that big name director that put a movie in Netflix?
Scorsese.
Scorsese.
You know? He put his last big gangster movie, The Irishman, on both Netflix and in theaters kind of simultaneously. Yeah. I want to say, I think they had one weekend in theaters, and then literally that Monday or the week after, it was on Netflix.
But I think that the thing that made it different was that, unless, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I do remember Scorsese from the get-go kind of saying, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to put in Netflix, and I'm going to be doing a limited release. I think that this was a reaction, not necessarily to Trolls World Tour, but to Scorsese's comment that, you know what, maybe this is the new way of doing it. Because, I mean, I can see where AMC is coming from, you know, but at the same time, you know, as a fan, yes, if I have no choice but to watch it, I am going to watch it on my TV. But given an opportunity to watch, you know, you're given an opportunity to watch Fast and the Furious, I'm going to do it in a movie theater with really loud surround sound systems, and me being able to giggle next to one of you guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, you know, it might be, I don't know, you're right. I think for the big blockbuster movies, hopefully that'll keep the theaters alive. But, you know, I wouldn't be too surprised if, you know, you start seeing the smaller, you know, Oscar kind of movies like The Farewell or Green Book or, you know, the Parasites of entertainment. Yeah, to start streaming this way instead of, you know, instead of the big theaters. Because, yeah, I mean, you know, unfortunately, at the end of the day, it is kind of a business. So maybe a lot of these theater or a lot of these production companies are looking at theaters, a big release in the theaters to basically recoup a lot of their expenses. You know, but you know, for maybe the smaller productions or for the smaller movies, you know, they maybe it's not even worth it to do that. I'm actually more curious what like Pixar or the animated studios will do from this point on, because you know, Trolls is one of the a great example. You know, what if the next Pixar movie next year, I don't remember, I think Soul, you know, if they move on to this, because, you know, even, you know, we did a review of Onward, and that was pretty surprising how they dropped it on Disney Plus pretty quick after its wide release in theaters. So yeah, well, I'll see, like, there's a lot of different genres of film that will be affected, and we'll probably pull it off differently, but yeah, it's time will tell, you know. Hopefully, you know, these industries will keep working the same stuff that we grew up on. But, you know, just like, hopefully, you know, not to be all sentimental, but hopefully theaters don't go the way of like arcades and record stores. Like, you know, it'll be back in the days it was fun to go to. You know, hopefully our kids and the future generation will get to see these too, or experience it, I mean.
Like, what I think we had a discussion in one of our chats where I was saying, the reason I think that Trolls and movies like Trolls will do okay is because they are family based.
Mm-hmm.
Where as opposed to, like, we're talking about like Fast and the Furious or big comic book movies, just big blockbusters in general, because those movies, like we said, were made for theaters. Whereas in, you can, like, say your children are a little bit younger than what your kids are now, and it's just much easier just to stay at home and just watch the movie at home, because, you know, they could care less about the quality of sound or even what the movie looks like and everything, as long as they're just enjoying the movie itself. Whereas, you know, for us, we do care about, you know, like we said, sound, visuals. If it's not in digital, then why are we even watching it, kind of deal? And it's But like you said, or like we've been talking about, it's those are the kind of movies, kids' movies, are easier to translate to like video on demand stuff, just because, it doesn't depend so much on even storyline kind of deal. It's more, it's like small visual things just to keep them entertained, because they don't need to keep it like a, you know, super focused. Like when, you know, when your kids were younger, and how difficult it was for you guys to take them to the movie theaters, or even if you wanted to watch a movie and say, you know, you needed to set up like a, get like a babysitter or whatnot, so you guys can enjoy a night out. And then instead you have this option here.
Yeah. I think the big problem, two things there, H. The first one is, I already forgot it because you were talking way too long. but the other thing is that there's a danger here, though. Quick, before I forget, the one thing that you might be right about is that if I watched, and this is for Lewis, if you watched it on in AMC and paid $50, would you be giving the same review to World Tour? I think I would have been more critical, to be honest with you. The fact that I only paid $20, I think I'm a little bit more forgiving to it. But the other side is also true, is that the big danger here is that if all of a sudden studios are going to start saying, well, we're going to do it video, straight to video, all of a sudden we're going to have, you know, Aladdin 2, Prince of Thieves, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we're going to have all of these direct-to-video movies that nobody really cared about because of that thought of, well, it's not going to be for the movie theaters. We don't need to make it a big budget. We don't need to make it a big production. Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll be able to come up with something good. But I think that's going to be the danger if all of a sudden we're saying that, you know what, it's okay to have direct-to-video movies.
That's a great take. That's a great take. And thank you for reminding me of the doldrums of Disney with, you know, Tarzan 2 and Little Mermaid again. And dude, Lion King 2, he hooks up with his cousin.
Yeah. My daughter discovered Little Mermaid 2 on Disney Plus, and she was so excited.
Oh no.
And then it went brr.
See, that's the thing is, the hype about like home theater or straight to video, like, yeah, like we said, I talked about when we were younger, we definitely knew that a movie was going to be subpar quality if it went straight to video.
Yeah.
Like, even bad movies, not even animated movies, just a bad, like, Best of the Best 3. I was like, oh, if it never hit the theaters, it's got to be, well, it was all right. But, like, compared to Best of the Best 1 and 2, it's garbage, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, anything after Bloodsport 2... that just went straight to thing, you automatically know the kind of quality you're getting into. What is, does that kind of quality continue now, or do they finally figure out maybe if we just go straight to video that we have to kick the quality of movies up a little, like kick it up a notch? Let's hope that what we experienced with the whole Disney straight to video stuff, that if they are going to go that route, that they do decide to make movies that would make you want to watch them. So.
Yeah, that's true. Ooh, then this brings up a very dangerous, slippery slope. So hopefully that doesn't happen. But, you know, I'm enthusiastic for the entertainment industry because A, you know, my eldest wants to get in there. So hopefully it's still a healthy industry for him to get into when he graduates college. Not to mention, we have a lot of friends. And I think Harold actually has family in the industry. So, you know, rooting for it to keep going healthy. And, you know, we have friends in it.
Even if you look at it this way, too, movies are super expensive here in America compared to the rest of the world.
Okay, yeah.
Yet, like, when we go to the Philippines and when we go visit over there, theaters are relatively, you know, busy because people just want that escape. And no matter what the quality of a movie is sometimes, they just go out and they just go watch it. Maybe it's because there's air conditioning, but I don't know. But you know, it's just the thought itself where people are going to watch movies. Now the thing is, where are they going to watch those movies? I will watch a crappy movie at a theater as opposed to like a pirated version of a good movie at home.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. So anyway, so I don't think we're going to see anything concrete yet. We'll see what the fallout is of all this. Not to mention, I was just reminded actually that today was supposed to, or we're recording today, May 1st. Today was supposed to be when Black Widow was to drop in theaters, and obviously that's not happening.
Yeah, I was going to just mention that, is that we're not really going to see any fallout anytime soon, because I don't know of any movie that is planned on going direct to video anytime soon. And I think all the major releases have been basically moved forward to like October or November, right?
Yeah.
Because they were, I heard they were thinking of doing Wonder Woman straight to VOD. That is a terrible idea.
Oh yeah, no.
That is a movie that deserves a theatrical release.
I agree.
And, we think it deserves. It's
true. I mean, we hope. Who knows? Who knows?
Like if we found out that Justice League went straight to video, we would have been okay with it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, only after the fact. And I wouldn't have felt as bad spending money, obviously, if we had just watched it on demand and been like, ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to be honest, guys, we should blame ourselves for that one, because we saw firsthand how terrible Batman versus Superman was, so we should have known exactly what we're getting into with Justice League.
Seriously. We had faith, though. Come on.
Yeah.
We had
actually hope. Lewis had faith.
No.
Yikes. Feel free to edit that.
Nope.
Or leave it in.
Leave it in.
Speaking of leaving it in.
Oh, no. What else you got?
Have you guys, we're running long, but have you guys watched Jay and Silent Bob
reboot? No, not yet.
I've been meaning to. It is on Amazon, so that's another one of those.
Yeah, let's talk about it next time. I think you guys need to watch it, and I think it's an interesting like conversation to be had here.
Absolutely.
Okay. Looking forward that's to our it. Homework Looking for the week.
Okay.
Yeah. Homework for the week, guys.
Okay. That's it for us today. Hopefully you guys enjoyed our episode. You know, as usual, if there's any suggestions that you have of what you want us to talk about, or maybe if you just want to stop us talking, you know, please reach out. Please tell us. Please talk to us. You know, we do have our social medias that is available out there. So if you want to take a look at all our old episodes, you can take a look at The Two Fanboys One Casual.podbean.com for all our previous episodes.
And on Facebook, you can find us Two Fanboys and A Filthy Casual. Every time the podcast goes live, we'll be posting it there. Any fun news, memes, jokes, anything to like, find it there too. Not to mention, find our Facebook group. You know, we're seeing the ads of it on commercial on TV now. Two Fanboys in a Filthy Casual group. You know, a lot of like-minded fanboys and fangirls talk about all the good stuff out there in the world.
Okay. And then on Twitter and Instagram, Two Fanboys One Casual. And like we always say, anywhere you can find your favorite podcast, we are there.
Anywhere.
Awesome.
Well, that's it for us today. Hopefully you guys enjoyed our episode. As usual, this is Two Fanboys in the Filthy Casual. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold. What happened?
We had such a great thing, and all of a sudden that promo or ending promo like just got cut out. It's amazing. We're keeping it. See you guys later.
Or not. Haters.